You're listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone. This show will give you the tools and information for better health as you age. Now, here's your host, Kendra Vallone.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another show of Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, and I'm joined by my co-host, who is board certified in pulmonary medicine, internal medicine, and with advanced training in anti-aging, Dr. Larry Emder. Hi, Dr. Emder.
Hey, good day. Great to be here, as usual.
Good day. Listen to you. That has like a little Australian kick
to
it.
Yeah, I know you'd recognize that, that greeting, since you just married an Australian.
I did, yeah. Except you're not eating Vegemite or...
No,
we avoid
Vegemite for sure.
Yeah. Although going to Australia right now would be nice because they're just kicking into spring and summertime right around the corner, whereas we are turning fallish.
Yeah. So have all their fires like stopped? You know, usually this time of year, like the third.
They were really bad for a while. I'm actually not privy to what they are today, if they're up and roaring. Hopefully they're not.
They have fire issues there for sure.
Yeah. We know some people that live over there, so that's kind of a shame.
But yeah. So how was your weekend?
Good
anything
week.
Fun?
Good. Well, did I do anything fun? I don't
Shopping.
Think so. No. Well, Grossmont had their big gala. Did you know about that? Grossmont Hospital?
I missed that.
You did? Okay.
Yeah. Where was it?
Downtown San Diego, actually.
Okay. Did you go?
Yeah, we did. It was nice. It was sponsoring like the Heart and Vascular Center over there. Which
great
was
hospital.
Nice.
It's a milestone, hallmark of the community. And they do a great job.
Yeah, they do. They
so
do.
What was the theme again?
Arabian Nights, actually.
Oh, that's exciting.
It was very nice. Yeah. And I think it's kind of fundraising season that everybody's doing a whole lot of things. So it was kind of exciting. And so that would have been the highlight. The low light would have been, I actually had my computer stolen out of my car.
You know,
Isn't that bizarre?
Why would they bother with a computer? That's so passe. They should have stole your cell phone.
Well, the problem is I also had a very expensive, like, a big bag in my car. Like, my work bag is...
Okay, so they took the whole bag.
It's very logoed. No, they did not take the bag. So I'm thinking it had to be guys. Does that sound... That's just so stereotypically bad for me to say.
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
I don't know. Just the computer was missing out of my car. And I live in such a like a white bread area that's super safe up in the Del Mar-ish area.
Okay.
But I'm really bummed about it because you don't think about... In fact, I want to go to these people and say, you can keep my computer if you can send me all the files that are on it. Because at that point, doesn't that just become
you feel
more
violated
when
you get stolen, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Though I'm thinking, I'm glad that it wasn't my phone, which is making me keep my phone really safe, like safe with me at the moment. Because I've got so many things on my phone, pictures and all that stuff.
Well, are you password protected, I hope, on your computer?
Yes. Everything's password protected. So it was okay. They would have had to wipe it. But other than that, I don't know. I'm still feeling the loss.
Any chance you could track it down? I mean,
you know what? I tried. Somebody recommended calling like all of the local computer places and pawn shops to see if somebody had tried to sell it back, and Craigslist as well. So I got online and looked up everywhere and... No, can't find it. But the good news is I'm going to
get a new computer.
Yeah, that's getting
great
a new
news.
Computer. Yeah. And I'm going to become a Mac person, I think.
Mac is, I love Mac. In fact,
do you have a Mac computer?
I do.
You're way too hip.
Yeah.
You do realize that? Like, you're very hip.
I'm very hip, especially for someone who's older.
Yeah. Well, your
65.
Specialty is anti-aging. And so
And I've got some hip news to reveal about myself on this show, which is totally amazing.
Please go for it. I can't live in suspense any longer.
Well, getting back to the Mac, if you had a Mac, you can actually trace the computer.
No kidding. Every computer place I called was like, well, you had the Find My iPhone app on your computer, right? And I said, well, it's on my phone, but my computer was an HP. And there was silence on the other end of the line with them saying, oh, yeah, no, we can't help you. No one can help you now.
nothing against HP, but I am actually going from here down to the Mac store in Mission Valley to look at their new MacBook Pro computer, which we should go down together.
I think I'm going the Air route. I think I'm going Air.
Okay.
Versus the Pro.
Yeah, so I need the CD drive. I'm a CD drive
person. I thought about that. I did think about that. That was the one thing that was pushing me, but... then my husband looked at me and he's like, CD drives are kind of like VH tapes. You know, they're going to go out of date and then you're going to have that stuck on your computer. How do you feel about that? And it kind of like took me back.
Yeah. So here's the story. I told you I want to learn Spanish.
Right.
And I spent like $1,000 and got the program.
Oh, the Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta Stone.
Right.
Well, they're all on discs and the disc drive on my computer is broken. So I need a disc drive to load it so I can, you know, start getting my money's worth out of this program.
Right. Okay. So you're really getting a new computer so that you can utilize the $1,000 of language equipment that you
purchased. It doesn't quite compute. But the other thing is the Macs, when you turn them on, they automatically back up to, I think, something called Airport. So it's, you know, if God forbid if my computer's stolen, I always have it automatically backed up all the time.
Right. You can also buy something to have in your house that automatically backs it up, too. Or are you talking about something different that you did not purchase?
It comes with the Mac. It's donated. It's dedicated to your Mac computer. And it's also the Wi-Fi of my house. And, of course, the newest one has, you know, is faster, you know,
right.
Speedier.
Prettier, smaller, quicker, lighter, everything.
Seriously, we should go down together after the show.
Could get very dangerous. I'm impressed, though.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. Okay, so you're basically saying that the reason you would go the Pro is for the disk drive, but if you didn't need that the Air is
good. I think the Air is great. You know, it's lightweight. I think it's probably a longer battery life.
Though. Yes, I had them both. Like, I went on all the forums and was, you know, which one do you pick for 2000?
Yeah, I think your generation is doing everything with thumb drives to transfer data. So
yes, and that's something that my husband brought up, too. He's like, what do you want a disk for?
Yeah, so I'm a disk kind of guy. So
okay. Well, you know, you're older.
Yeah, so. And the other thing is I'm now a photographer. And one way to store your old photographs is to put them on discs and, you know, store them.
I'm really impressed. So the name of our show, Aging Redefined, I think, though we talk about health issues and a lot of it has to do with eating right and diet and great show. I don't want to segue this, but we do have a great show today about functional medicine and stuff. So everybody's got to stay with this. But you are the epitome of redefining aging because your social life and the stuff that you do, the Mac was a big deal too. I mean, you're like stepping out of the generation thing. You're beyond me. Like, I can't keep up with you. So what are you doing now? Photography classes?
We're now going to have a new show called Photography Redefined.
Yeah.
I just,
you can lead that one.
This weekend, yours truly, Dr. Larry Emder, went to, Nikon School of Photography.
That's a big deal. So
that
you
comes
are
here like once or twice a year. They bring in world-class photographers. One of the photographers we had is Nick Didlick. And I got to be careful how I say that. So, you know, it comes out right. And he is, you know, when at the Olympics, the Canadian Olympics, when someone would win the first, second, third, he would be the photographer that would set up all the winners so the other photographers could take pictures. I mean, you know, he is like that good of a photographer.
Why didn't he take the picture?
Well, he would tell the photographer how to set their how to set what settings to take the picture at. I mean, he's like a photographer's photographer, and he's teaching yours truly.
Wow.
So you ready for this? I got this Nikon camera.
Did you buy it there?
I've had it for a year. Okay. I mean, it's like
top of the line, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I couldn't afford top of the line. It's like right under top of the line. I'm talking like $2,000 just for this camera body. Mm. All right.
Yeah. Then you got to get the lens.
So the whole class is on how to use this camera. Okay. So, you know, when I look through this camera, all right, I can't see anything. I think I'm going blind or my glasses have to be changed. And the first thing they teach us is there's a dial on the viewfinder called the diopter. Okay. And if you just change that, you could bring it into focus.
I thought maybe you had your cap on your lens.
No. So I was able to, you know, I told them at the end of the class, if you told me, you know, the class cost me about $300. I said, the price of admission was worth just being able to like focus my camera. So the guy thought I was an idiot, but but he did laugh. So
wow, that's impressive. So is this because now all of your fishing trips with your hand having a bit of carpal tunnel, now you can go on the fishing trips and you don't have to fish, but you can take awesome pictures?
Well, you know, there was a problem with the camera, too. This is a heavy camera. So, you know, I developed a bursitis in my shoulder.
You're
from
lying.
Lifting, I'm telling the truth.
Are you serious?
From lifting up the camera. So I'm really back to my Instamatic because, you know, it's a lighter camera. So
really?
I'm really the walking wounded.
You're falling apart.
Yeah. So I went fly fishing in August and we talked about it. And then I came back. I developed carpal tunnel. And I had to have surgery on that. And the story I didn't tell you is when I came back from Europe.
And, on your cruise.
Yeah. I came back with this horrible bursitis. And I went to the ship doctor and I said, I'm a doctor. So I said, I have a bursitis in my shoulder. You need to inject it. They said, well, we don't do injections in the joints. I said, well, it's not a joint. You know, it's a bursitis. He says, we won't do that. So I'm now in Italy. And if I went to a clinic, I was afraid that I would tell them in English that I had bursitis and I ended up having heart catheterization. Uh-huh. So I decided not to tell anybody anything.
Yeah, probably smart.
And came back. I could not lift my arm above my head that was so painful. It was so much pain.
Really?
But I called my office because I know how to treat it. And I told them, draw up some steroids, draw up some lidocaine. And so and I told them to drop the syringe in my mailbox. So at 10 o'clock at night after we landed in San Diego, I was injecting my bursa.
No kidding.
My wife thought I was like shooting out.
Seriously? Yeah.
So that's, okay. But anyway, we do have a show today.
We do.
I was going to reveal, something that's showing that I'm hip.
Oh, but okay. Keep.
So what I learned in this photography class is how to use the social media, the Facebook, and I'm now on Instagram.
Are you?
So if you want to follow.
We can be friends.
Yeah. If you want to follow me, hashtag Dr. Larry Emder. You'll be able to see, I actually won some prizes at this show at the Nikon School of...
Did you really?
Yeah.
Are we friends yet? Have you... I think I'm hashtag Kendra Vallone.
I haven't quite figured that out yet.
Okay.
I have like three people following me right now. I think it's my family.
Well, they'll connect to your Facebook too, which we've got to get our audience up with our Facebook.
Yeah.
Because we need more likes on it. So it's Aging Redefined Radio. Great way to contact us, both of us actually.
Yeah.
If you've got any questions, have... information that you'd like us to base our show on. Definitely awesome to have information from the listeners.
And go to a hashtag Dr. Larry Emder. I'm going to go to New York this weekend. You'll see all my pictures of the Empire.
York?
Yeah.
You're like a jet setter.
Well, I'm only going so I have something to talk about next week.
Okay. Well, you're keeping our show running for those four listeners that we've got. So audience members out there, stay with us. We will be right back. We've got an awesome show on functional medicine. And if you have no idea what that is, you better tune in because it's good information.
When Joe was in his last days, I was frightened of not having the right help at the right moment. So I set out to find a hospice I could call at any time, day or night. Only VITAS provided telecare, the 24-hour access we needed.
Mom's illness was overwhelming toward the end, and I wanted a hospice that had everything and everyone we needed. We discovered only VITAS employs more physicians who specialize in hospice care than anyone nationally. That made Mom and us feel better.
When Carol was dying, I promised she could stay at home and had the very best care. I did my research. Only VITAS had the experience to take care of the love of my life.
Call VITAS Innovative Hospice Care toll-free at 877-647-1124 for a free hospice evaluation. That's 877-647-1124. Or visit VITAS.com for more information.
Transition is always difficult, especially after surgery. At Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center, we make sure it's as efficient as possible. As one of the highest-rated Medicare facilities in San Diego, we offer a variety of services to meet your needs. From subacute care to general physical therapy, we'll help create a plan to get you back to where you want to be. If your doctor recommends skilled nursing as your next step, come visit us and see how our skilled care has what you need to get back on your feet. For more information, please visit our website, villalaspalmascares.com.
No one wants to think about having a heart attack, but should you or a loved one need life-saving care, you want to go to a hospital that has a track record for saving lives. I'm Dr. Mike Mikowski, a cardiologist at Alvarado Hospital. As a designated San Diego Heart Attack Receiving Center, we recognize the importance of getting life-saving cardiac care. Our state-of-the-art cath labs offer life-saving treatment when you need it most. For information, visit alvaradohospital.com.
Alvarado Hospital is one of the top 15 health systems in the nation.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, joined by my co-host, Dr. Larry Emder, and we have an awesome special guest today. Dr. Emder, I'll let you introduce her, so go ahead.
Well, it's a great pleasure because this is one of my partners from 11 years, she just informed me, which is pretty much a record for partners for me other than my wife. And this is Dr. Tiru Velamalamala. We just call her affectionately as Dr. Tiru so I don't get tongue-tied. And she did her medical school training in India at the University of Calcutta. Then came to the United States and did training at New York Coney Island Hospital, then the Long Island Jewish Medical Center, and was an assistant professor at University of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey and Rutgers for years before she came to San Diego. And she currently is in private practice. She's board certified in internal medicine, pulmonary medicine, and anti-aging medicine. And Dr. Tiru, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. This is actually my second time.
You're our first repeat.
So I am kind of a veteran revisitor.
I like it. But today you come bringing some very intense information, which we're excited about. I think our one of the things Dr. Emder just informed me that you got back from a conference.
Yes, I went to a conference by the Age Management Medical Group and Medicine Group and Synergenics. Mm-hmm. And they have a conference twice a year, and they bring experts from all over the country, all over the world on anti-aging medicine, age management medicine, and terrific speakers and real great clinicians. And
oh, wow.
I learned from them quite a bit.
Wow. So is it safe to say that a lot of what you are going to be talking about or what you learned is called functional medicine? Is that what we're kind of basing it on?
You could say that. You could say that.
So yes. What is functional medicine exactly?
Functional medicine, I can't really say the exact definition, but it's basically individualized medicine. It's basically taking a patient and treating them as a whole, rather than just looking at one system. For example, I'm a pulmonologist. Somebody comes for asthma, I deal with their bronchodilator, send them home. But a functional medicine physician will treat the whole patient head to toe, including their physical aspects, their emotional aspects, psychiatric aspects, and so on and so forth.
Okay. So with so many things, I know Dr. Emder and I have had a lot of different people on the show talking, I mean, everywhere from, you know, different diets about not eating gluten because it affects certain parts of your body. Would you say that maybe with all of the different diseases or things happening to people these days, that this is kind of where medicine is moving because everything's connected?
I think it'll be a good direction for medicine to move. Mm-hmm. Whether it's moving in that direction or not, I can't say, but it'll be a good direction because then we go back to basics and take care of the real problems underlying, and we can fix them using the biochemical as well as individual approach to medicine.
Okay. So when I was doing a little bit of research on it, I saw some information saying it's more of like, as you mentioned, a holistic approach. But to me, that often means that it is related to your diet or just being in better health. So, would you say that you don't have to have a disease to benefit from this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The best way to treat disease is to prevent it. Mm-hmm. And there is I just learned at this conference a Chinese proverb that says, a superior physician prevents a disease, mm-hmm. a mediocre physician treats the disease before it happens, and an inferior physician treats the disease. Mm. So I thought that was a very good one. So prevention.
That.
Yeah.
Now, I heard in China that if they pay the physicians when they're healthy, and they give them money to keep them healthy. When they're sick, they don't get paid, which is kind of
kidding.
Yeah,
This is an honest thing that you heard?
It's not something I made up.
This was like a 2,000 or more year old Chinese proverb I heard in the conference, and I thought that was very good. So by that standard, every physician in this world today is an inferior physician because we are all treating diseases rather than most of them trying to prevent the disease.
I mean, that's part of the problem with American medicine is, you know, the way the reimbursement is set up is for taking care of health incidents, you know, when you get sick.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've not really given a lot of attention or paid a lot of money for prevention.
Mm-hmm.
And then functional medicine, that sounds like it's really more prevention. What can we do to keep a population healthy rather than dealing with all the problems at the end when they've abused their body? Does that sound about right?
Absolutely. I agree with you. Yeah.
Mm.
And that's why you see some of these programs now that large employers, if you smoke, they want to charge them more for their insurance because they know they're going to have, you know, more complications, more comorbidities, or some companies won't hire someone if they're, you know, if they're overweight or, you know, if they're smokers, because, you know, we know as, you know, from population studies that they're going to get sicker, quicker, die younger and have more complications.
Yes, yes.
So what's the, give us like the number one thing you learned at this conference this weekend.
That's very hard to say, but I learned a few things, if I can name them. I learned something about nutrigenomics.
Say that word again?
Nutrigenomics, which basically deals with how the biomolecules in what you eat go and talk to your genes.
No, no kidding.
This is a fantastic, and I was just mesmerized by the topic because basically, the speaker says, we talk about antioxidants all the time, how taking a lot of antioxidants is good for you. But what happens is the current way of thinking, all antioxidants are good and all oxidative stress is bad. That's not true, because oxidative stress goes and triggers some genes inside your cells, a group of genes called the NRF2 genes, something like that. And these biomolecules go and activate those genes. And then the genes produce the internal antioxidants, like the superoxide dismutase, glutathione peroxidase, and catalase, that can quench millions of free radicals per molecule. Whereas the antioxidants we give go and interfere with the internal oxidative stress mechanism and can basically turn it off and not do any good. And also, these molecules that we can give is one-to-one. One molecule can quench one free radical. Whereas what is done in the body makes molecules that can quench millions of oxidative stress products. So give the molecules in food. For example, broccoli, which has what is called sulforaphane.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned was the sulforaphane is not inherently produced in the broccoli. It is present in the seed, and the precursor molecule is there, and an enzyme is there. So when you chew the broccoli, the enzyme basically acts on the precursor molecule and makes the sulforaphane, which is a great trigger of this internal oxidative stress gene. And what I learned that was even more interesting was it's not broccoli. Broccoli has very little. It's the broccoli sprouts, the broccoli seeds and the sprouts that has the highest concentration of this precursor molecule that you can eat and chew, and it can go and work on the gene to make the antioxidants inside. So the current thinking is don't overload with external antioxidants. Take it in food and the body will do the trick.
Okay, so what... Can you name some other foods that would have that?
That was the funny part. This particular research who talked about, she only talked about sulforaphane. I personally think, based on my own process of thinking, is there are so many vegetables and sprouts and everything is that nature makes. I can't imagine that broccoli sprouts having that. But that's the only one they have shown by scientific studies to trigger this.
So broccoli is from a group of vegetables called cruciferous vegetables.
Cruciferous vegetables,
which are sulfur-containing vegetables.
Exactly.
So, you know, other things in that class are, you know, cauliflower, bok choy, which I love.
Bok choy, kale, cabbage.
Yeah.
It's very popular right now. I feel like vegetables trend.
Yeah.
You know, kale's on the chart.
My grandmother always said, eat your vegetables.
Right.
And so she had...
But vegetables are good. I'm just saying certain vegetables spike, you know, like kale is very popular right now.
Yeah. Kale is very popular. Broccoli is very popular.
I love broccoli. Broccoli's been like a long-term staple.
Kale is kind of bitter. I mean, you have to have a good...
It's delicious. Yeah. I'm just saying it's really popular.
Yeah, it can't be prepared right.
So, Dr. Tiru, going back one step, you're mentioning antioxidants, and I know that we hear them all the time. You know, acai, antioxidants, this is amazing. What exactly, you said that they get rid of the free radicals in your body. Could you, you know, just quickly describe why antioxidants are important?
Well, because everything we do is oxidative stress. Mm-hmm. Everything. Detoxification, for example, we are loaded with external bad chemicals and the body has to detoxify. Body has to detoxify its own products. Products of exercise can be an oxidant stress, okay?
Which damages cells.
Yeah, which damages cells. Exercise can is an oxidative stress. Similarly, digestion is an oxidative stress. Stress itself, long-term emotional stress, is an oxidative stress. So all those things are producing free radical after free radical. And if you don't have these antioxidants, they go and oxidize your DNA. They go and oxidize your proteins. And they denature them. They make them not good. And so...
And then they give you wrinkles.
And they give you wrinkles and everything else that happens with aging.
Just trying to break it down to what...
You have no wrinkles, so you're...
I do. And I know they're stress related. It's okay. So, you can't see them under the gobs of makeup in the shiny light.
And inflammation is inflammatory. So basically oxidation, stress. So the best way to deal with is antioxidants and endogenously produced antioxidants, which means whatever our own body makes is much better than what we can supply. Moreover,
we
get
antioxidants in our food. So what are good foods that have a source of antioxidants?
Cruciferous vegetables and polyphenols, you know, like green tea.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and all colored vegetables. I would say
Vitamin E is a...
Vitamin E is an external antioxidant.
I like potatoes. How about potatoes? There's
honestly,
not a whole lot in there.
Good for starch.
So good. I don't know. I can't. You know, it's a vegetable, so I can't say it doesn't have it. But you know, when you cook it,
I think the skins are supposed to be really good.
Yeah, when you cook it, I think it goes.
And when they're cut up in French fried form.
Yeah, dip it in oil and keep frying them. They're delicious, but no antioxidants.
I think it's a good time to stop this segment. Yeah, you're kind
my
of
mouth is watering. I can't.
I know.
All right, audience out there, stay with us. We'll be right back with Dr. Tiru, and we have so much more information for you.
When it comes to treatment of heart disease, there are many choices, but there's no better choice than Alvarado Hospital, right here, close to home. I'm Dr. Mike Mikowski, a cardiologist with Alvarado Hospital. I am proud that our specialists bring a level of knowledge, skill, and technology that have greatly improved the lives of those in our community for the past 40 years. For more information about our cardiovascular and stroke services, please visit alvaradohospital.com or call 1-800-ALVARADO.
Alvarado is proud to be part of the top 15 health systems in the nation.
The hospital is a place for healing, but what if you're not ready to go home? If your doctor's recommending skilled nursing for extended care, Villa Las Palmas is your next step. From subacute needs to physical and occupational therapy, we handle the highest level of care outside the hospital. With our around-the-clock doctor coverage, you know you're getting the best care possible with a plan to get you stable and back home. Ask your doctor about Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center and let us help you get back to health. For more information, please visit our website, villalaspalmascares.com.
Okay, well, welcome back for, I lost track. This is our second segment. I'm having so much fun. I can never remember what segment we're on.
Well, Dr. Tiru's got some good information.
Yeah, so, you know, the vitamins are actually quite controversial. In medical literature, there's a lot of studies saying that, you know, vitamin therapy really doesn't do anything to prevent heart disease or prolong the life or prevent cancer. Did you learn anything about vitamin therapy at this conference?
They did not specifically talk about vitamin therapy, but they do talk about taking optimal doses of multivitamins because the food that we consume in this day and age is very, very nutrient depleted.
Okay.
For example, you know, you have to take 10 times or more of spinach, that is today, to keep up with the nutritional value of spinach 50 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because the soil is depleted in nutrient.
Oh.
There's a soil the spinach is taking and making the nutrients, and the soil is very, very depleted. For you know, I read in a book, the topsoil when the settlers came to the United States was 18 inches thick. And now the same topsoil is 0.5 to 1 inch thick. It is that depleted. And we are not doing anything to replete it. We are using chemicals to leach out all the stuff. So... And that's why we have to keep with the nutritional requirement, minerals and vitamins. So they do recommend taking it. And as far as the vitamin D intake that goes, everybody is deficient in vitamin D, even people living in San Diego.
Isn't that the one that's sun related? You get vitamin D from
right,
the sun.
Right.
Right. So even in people living in Arizona and San Diego, because we are using the sun blockers, we are using the clothes all the time, we don't get enough vitamin D. And that they talked about keeping in the third quartile, keeping it in the highest range possible. But they didn't talk much about other vitamins except to say they're supplement. Otherwise, you are not getting enough nutrition from food these days.
Mm-hmm. One thing that Dr. Tiro and myself do in our office is we can draw your blood, send it to an outside lab where they spin out the white cells, they grow them in culture, and we get a report back exactly how much deficient our patients are in any particular
really?
Vitamin. And then we can actually write a prescription, you know, instead of going out and just get a generic vitamin, which could have been sitting on the shelf for like 6 months. You know, we can send away for what's called a custom vitamin, which has the specific requirements for that patient.
Really?
So we have that capability.
I want to come and do that.
Well, I've done it on myself and on my wife. And
what are you deficient in?
I was deficient in biotin.
Biotin every morning.
Okay.
But you have a lot of hair. So how is that?
I'm 65 years old.
Yeah, you do. I was losing mine for a while, so I take biotin every morning.
Biotin and selenium I was low in, and some antioxidants. I wasn't low in many things, but yeah. So,
really? That's fascinating to me.
So we draw blood. So I guess my next question for Dr. Tiro is drawing blood. I actually had an opportunity. We had a blood drive for the San Diego Blood Bank. I came close to donating blood. Is there any advantage to donating blood? I was kind of afraid to
do it. Oh, my God. We learned a lot about that in that conference. It's really good for you to donate blood. It's not only altruistic because you're helping others. By donating blood, you're also helping yourself. There is a professor by the name of Professor Sloop who talked about blood viscosity, and that was a fascinating topic. Blood viscosity is something that is very important. We don't measure it often, but it is directly connected to the aortic stiffness. It looks like the stiffening of the aorta occurs in as you age.
Right, for everybody.
For everybody. And that leads to cardiovascular diseases like the atherosclerosis as well as peripheral arterial diseases. And this stiffening is mainly contributed to by the blood viscosity. What makes the blood viscous? The blood cells in them makes the blood viscous. The high proteins in them make the blood viscous. And testosterone therapy in men increases the blood volume by increasing the red cells. So that makes the blood viscous. And there is even a theory that goes to say why women in their menstruating age are protected from heart disease. It's because they are losing blood every month, and because of that, their blood viscosity is low, and that may be contributing to the low heart disease rate.
So low viscosity is better.
Lower viscosity is better.
Okay.
Okay. High viscosity is bad because it's like, think about it, a ketchup is flowing into a bottle.
Oh, okay.
And so if it's very thick. So the whole idea is, how can you make the blood less viscous? By donating blood for people who have a lot of them. And they are recommending donate blood once a month.
Once a month?
Once a month, once every 2 months. Do whatever
you
can.
Is there like an alternate option for somebody that does not like needles, like myself?
Yeah, but you have to donate blood even if
needles
there's
are
no other
way. I like needles.
Are you out of your mind? Really?
Well, you know.
And let me just finish. How else you can lower the viscosity? Drink plenty of water. That's one way.
Okay.
And for those who have, there are diseases, people with diseases where the blood cells are really plentiful in the body, but they have, those are blood diseases. They cannot donate blood, but for them, the hematologist does something called phlebotomy, where they remove blood periodically to make the blood less viscous. That's a long answer to a short question.
Interestingly, you know, in the 17th century and 16th century, that was a major form of treatment for physicians was bloodletting.
That's
so maybe
right.
They actually, we laugh about this today as that was a ridiculous thing, but maybe there was a health advantage to bloodletting.
Is that related to the leeches?
The leeches, yes.
Yeah.
The leeches, bloodletting, but it had its controversies, you know, like he was bringing up the topic. Yesterday's ridicule is today's practice or something like that, he was saying.
So interestingly, there was a study out of the VA of elderly patients that had heart disease that were on testosterone therapy. And they were studying the effects of testosterone in an older population. And they had to stop the study because these are patients with pre-existing heart disease had a higher incidence of cardiac events.
Right.
Which would make sense with what you're saying is that the testosterone was interfering with blood viscosity. And if you already have a heart problem, it may be a contraindication.
Yeah, I had a patient with a hemoglobin of 17 or 18 who was on testosterone therapy. And he had to go and get phlebotomy done. A normal hemoglobin for a man should be somewhere between 14 and 15. Mm. So 17 and 18, even though it doesn't sound like a big number, it is a big number because it exponentially increases the blood viscosity.
I mean, there's several complications from testosterone therapy, and your physician really needs to monitor you for these complications, one of them being the high hemoglobin hematocrit. And a little bit of concern because, you know, every other ad on the TV is about the new testosterone therapy. And I actually had a patient that came into my office who was on testosterone, Axiron, which is a testosterone which is delivered under your arm.
Hmm.
And he was having, at age 68, painful erections. And we checked his testosterone level, and he had a testosterone level like a teenager.
And that's a bad thing?
Yeah, it is if you're not a teenager.
Oh, okay.
And if it's painful, it's not.
Yeah. So basically, the therapy was we had to, dial back on his treatments from like every day to maybe three or four times a week. So
was he like self-administering that? Or
no, you have to get a prescription.
Oh, okay.
And then you can apply testosterone in a cream. You could rub on your body.
Mm-hmm.
You can apply, could apply it, under your arm. I mean, there, it's advertised. The big thing is low T, and you could go speak to your doctor. The population studies on the safety of testosterone is not completely out as of yet. So a little bit of a concern that not everybody should rush out and men in over 50 that are in andropause, willy-nilly be on testosterone without being monitored.
That's the whole important thing. Monitor them. Test them, monitor them, test them, monitor them. It's very, very important. No, nothing should be done in this day and age when you have methods to test them very accurately.
Mm. So what about women, though? Women
and testosterone?
Well, not necessarily testosterone, but you were talking about cardiovascular disease as well, right?
Women, interestingly you ask, because women, 1 in 3 women dies of heart disease, and it's the biggest killer of women. Women worry about breast cancer and this cancer and that cancer. In reality, 4% of women die from breast cancer, and 54% of women die from cardiovascular disease.
Really?
Yes. Wow. And 66,000, I learned this. This is new for me. I am a pulmonologist. Mm-hmm. 66,000 women per year die. 66,000 more women die every year from heart disease than men. Okay. Mm. Yet women get a mammogram regularly, but they don't check for cardiovascular disease regularly. And it looks like the physicians and the cardiologists come when they test women, even they are not that much better. So the physicians, that's how heart disease is not detected.
Yes, as a society, physicians, we think that heart disease is a disease of
men,
and so we tend to underdiagnose it in women, and they also don't usually present with the typical symptoms of chest pain.
They don't.
Pain
Dr. Andrew is right, because they present more with atypical symptoms like fatigue, shortness of breath, weakness. Like only 35% to 38% present with true chest pain. The rest of them said, I have been fatigued, I have been weak, I have been short of breath. Even when they are having a heart attack, they have more fatigue and shortness of breath than they have chest pain.
And we missed the diagnosis.
They showed study after study of women, case reports where women came complaining of shoulder pain. They had to have 3 hospitalizations before finally somebody recognized that this woman was having a heart attack. And not only that, it's this is something also as a non-cardiologist, what I learned was in women, the coronary plaques grow outward. Unlike in men, they grow inside the vessel, they grow protruding outside in the vessel. And because of that, the diameter doesn't go down of the vessel.
Mm.
And so when they present with chest pain or atypical symptoms, they don't have much of, that's why they don't have that many MIs, but they do have chest pain. Okay, and when they do the coronary angiogram also, because the lumen is not narrowed, it may not be detected, and that's why they are saying doing a percutaneous coronary what they call intravascular ultrasound may be a better test for women than for men.
Okay. I've got more questions on this, but we're running out of time for this session. So audience out there, stay with us. We'll be right back with Dr. Tiru and more information, especially on heart disease.
I'll be here too.
Yeah. Yes, Dr. Ember.
When Joe was in his last days, I was frightened of not having the right help at the right moment. So I set out to find a hospice I could call at any time, day or night. Only VITAS provided telecare, the 24-hour access we needed.
Mom's illness was overwhelming toward the end, and I wanted a hospice that had everything and everyone we needed. We discovered only VITAS employs more physicians who specialize in hospice care than anyone nationally. That made Mom and us feel better.
When Carol was dying, I promised she could stay at home and had the very best care. I did my research. Only VITAS had the experience to take care of the love of my life.
Call VITAS Innovative Hospice Care toll-free at 877-647-1124 for a free hospice evaluation. That's 877-647-1124. Or visit VITAS.com for more information.
Transition is always difficult, especially after surgery. At Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center, we make sure it's as efficient as possible. As one of the highest-rated Medicare facilities in San Diego, we offer a variety of services to meet your needs. From subacute care to general physical therapy, we'll help create a plan to get you back to where you want to be. If your doctor recommends skilled nursing as your next step, come visit us and see how our skilled care has what you need to get back on your feet. For more information, please visit our website, VillaLasPalmasCares.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, joined by my co-host, Dr. Larry Emner, and our special guest today, Dr. Tiru. So we've been talking about, Dr. Tiru, you just got back from your conference and learning a lot of information on functional medicine, which is more of a holistic approach to treating a patient and kind of, you know, where a disease comes from, all this information. But on the last segment, we ended talking about heart disease for women, saying that it's kind of the number one killer, but kind of a silent killer because we don't catch it all the time, right? Is that what you were saying? How can a woman, being myself, kind of be on the lookout for it, get treated for it necessarily, or make sure that it's not something that we've got?
Dr. M, do you want to comment about it?
Well, one of the reasons, you know, doctors don't think about, you know, heart disease in women is that the estrogen in women when they're young, is a protective measurement for the heart, because estrogen in the coronary arteries causes the calcium to dissolve out of the artery and be driven to the bone. OK, and women, when they're young, have a lot of estrogen, so it's cardioprotective. But when the women go through menopause and their estrogen levels drop, they have the same risk factors that men have. So women that are through menopause and are overweight and they're smoking and have dyslipidemia and they're under stress, have all the increased risk factors for heart disease, and their doctors, you know, have to screen for them. What does that mean? That means, stress tests, take the history. Look at lipid profiles, look at blood pressure, because the women after menopause are at a high risk for heart disease. Would you agree or disagree, Dr.?
I totally agree with you. And one interesting and funny statistic is, unlike men who live longer when they are married, women have higher risk of heart attack when they are married.
Yeah, well, if any woman taking care of me would be at high risk for heart attack because I'm very demanding.
That's scary.
2 to 3 times higher risk of getting a cardiovascular event for a woman when she's married. And this is apart from all the work-related stress and everything. So for all you men, it's just important to know.
You're a lot of work to take care of.
Yeah, and we love it. We love it.
Yeah, so basically this brings me to another thing I learned, and that's called the colloquially called the plaque test, which is basically a test which tells you about an impending heart attack. Okay, this is called LP alpha 2 or LP plaque 2, which means lipoprotein associated phospholipase. This is an enzyme that goes and erodes the plaque and makes the plaque vulnerable to rupture. And it's a specific marker of vascular inflammation produced by the inflammatory cells in the endothelium, in the blood vessel, And when the plaque test is elevated, when it is more than 195, it's a very high risk, and the patient should immediately go on statin and be seen by a cardiologist, because when the plaque test is high, there is twice as high risk of developing a heart attack or five times as much of a risk of a stroke.
So this is a blood test?
It's a blood test.
And you can do it both in men and women?
It can be done in both men and women, and apparently the insurance companies pay for it.
Yeah, I'm going to have it done on myself tomorrow. That's the LP Alpha 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also called LP-PLAC2. It's an interesting, you know, concept. And are we done with the segment, or we have more time to talk about it?
I have another question. So I also practice at Villa Las Palmas on subacute, and I have, you know, several young patients that have had traumatic brain injury. And this is head trauma, your gunshot wounds. Do they discuss anything about what's new in managing these, you know, these patients with a traumatic brain injury?
They did, and it was very sad to know that several really high class athletes commit suicide. They are depressed, and I learned that among the NHL football players, the risk of depression is 16 times higher than in the general population. And these are young, very productive, extremely bright people. I mean, not necessarily bright,
but we
have
that
very
football player who committed suicide.
Suicide,
actually.
And it looks like it's not just him. There are several. So in addition to that, they also have hormone deficiencies, because the pituitary gland sits at the base of the skull and is banged every time their head gets banged. So the boxers, the NFL team players, they have very high risk of hormone deficiency. And sometimes finding the hormone deficiency and treating them can help them.
Wow. What kind of, are they hypothyroid, hypopituitary?
Growth hormone deficiency, particularly because it's a pituitary-related hormone. Thyroid function tests have to be checked. And clearly, you know, anything that the pituitary produces, which is basically ACTH, which causes the cortisol and the other related hormones, thyrotropin, which is a thyroid-releasing hormone, which makes thyroid, and growth hormone. So all these functions, along with gonadotropins like LHRH and...
you're blowing away our audience here, so we don't have to mention all these hormones. Basically, they have a hormone deficiency.
Hormone deficiency. And hormones particularly that come from the pituitary, because pituitary is what is banged about when they do the competitive sports.
So we're saying that ultimately they just become depressed and don't...
They get depressed, they can get hormone deficiencies, and all those things are recognizable. And if somebody recognizes them and diagnoses them and treats them, they can.
And these are all treatable, you know, problems.
These are all treatable problems. And also I learned something about doing a functional F-deoxyglucose PET scan. We talk about PET scan in the context of diagnosing cancer, but a gentleman by the name of Dr. Carroll mentioned a functional PET scan in these people, and it can differentiate between different kinds of dementia, between the vascular dementia, Alzheimer's dementia.
When you say these people, you mean athletes, or these just the patients?
Any kind, and also traumatic brain injury. So this PET scan can basically differentiate between different causes of dementia, and it's important because people with traumatic brain injury recover differently than people with Alzheimer's dementia. The medications are different, the treatment is different, the prognosis is different. So this test seems to be a really good test in differentiating between different causes of dementia, so the patients can be given a proper prognosis and appropriate treatment. Moreover, in some treatments used for Alzheimer's dementia can be really bad for other kinds of dementia, so making a diagnosis becomes important.
Okay.
So what can we do to keep our brains healthy? Did they discuss that at all at the conference?
They specifically did not discuss that, but I know what makes the brain healthy. Eat healthy, avoid oxidative stress, avoid what you call trans fats, which are really bad for the rest of the body. Eat healthy, exercise, and keeping brain exercises. Always do some new activity, like you're doing the Nikon test, you know.
Right, yeah.
Taking new courses.
No one can keep up with Dr. Amber. He's on his own level.
But at least we can be 100 feet behind
him. That's true.
Learn a new language.
Get a new camera.
Anything you do.
Buy a new language, you know, and have it ready to learn.
Just sit it next to your desk.
So whatever you do, just to keep your brain active. Learn something new all the time. That's the best way to keep your brain active because it promotes all kind of synaptic connections. And
so, you know, everybody is into diet drinks, and there's the chemical in diet drinks is aspartame. And some people claim that, you know, that's actually bad for your brain. Did the conference talk about aspartame at all?
The conference didn't talk about it, but one thing I had learned from other conferences is that the pilots, the airline pilots, drinking an aspartame-containing drink is absolutely no-no. So that tells you something about why the aspartame is banned.
Why? Why is that a bad thing?
I don't know why, but I would think that it's not good for your brain.
I mean, I heard that supposedly the aspartame can contribute to the same kind of plaque you get in the brain of people with Alzheimer's disease.
Okay, I was not aware of that, but, you know, I don't drink aspartame. I don't like the taste of it.
So I'm personally not a big fan of diet drinks. Like if you're thirsty, you know, water, you know.
I love a Diet Coke. I'm just going to throw it out there and be very honest.
I know. And you know what? The carbonated drinks, it really is bad for women. Causes osteoporosis.
But I'm drinking a lot more iced tea these days. Okay. Iced tea is good.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
Green tea is good.
Yeah, green tea is very good.
What did you learn about the visceral fat in women, good or bad?
Visceral fat in men, women, children, it's not good for anybody.
Visceral fat meaning fat
in the midsection.
The fat inside the belly. Fat around the viscera, basically. It's not good for anybody. This fat is actually an organ. It's a pro-inflammatory organ. It secretes IL-1, IL-6.
This is fat in general.
This is particularly the visceral fat.
It's an entity in itself. It acts
like an organ, produces all kind of inflammatory markers, and it's really bad for you. And inflammation in the long run, called inflammaging, it can make you age faster. It contributes to all kinds of problems, cardiovascular problem, cancers. You know, some cancers like breast cancer, colon cancer, and I think even kidney cancer is associated with the visceral fat.
How do you get rid of it? I mean, I know a lot of people that have beer bellies and whatnot. It's not one of those things you can just kind of sit up your way to.
It's not easy.
And basically, I'm glad you asked. You know, I didn't think we had time for that. But they are
You're going to hear this whether you like it or not. You need to hear this now. And I don't know what she's going
to
say.
So very likely, you know, you have to use a 4-prong approach where you have to do the diet. You have to, you know, get rid of all the toxins from your body. You have to replete the nutrients. You have to balance the hormone and the neurotransmitters. That's in a nutshell how we go about it.
Well, there you go. Done.
Yeah.
Okay. How we go about it, that's a different session, I guess.
A lot easier than done.
That's
easier
right.
said than done, as they say.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess stay tuned.
It looks like that'll be another show.
We'll just have to figure that out later. So, Dr. Tiru, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing with us what you learned at your conference.
Oh, great information.
It's my pleasure. I'm happy to be back. Thank you for having me.
For our audience, if they wanted to get in touch with you and, you know, women want to get screened for heart disease or tricks on how to lose visceral fat, how do they reach you?
Well, Dr. Amdur, you and I share the same office. You can give them the number and, you know, they can ask for me and we'll be happy to work together on
office
that.
Number is 619-286-8803. Mm-hmm. They could reach us. We have a website. It's drlarryemdur.com. Mm-hmm. I can also be reached at hashtag Dr. Larry Emdur if you want to follow me on my trip to New York, and I will be posting pictures.
I'm excited to see
I haven't joined Dr. Emdur in his website yet, but soon I will do that.
Okay.
We keep
You'll
talking about it.
Well, you can join us on our Facebook page, though. An audience out there, please do that as well. Aging Redefined Radio. So jump on, take a look. We've got pictures up there and obviously links to our podcast, which you can also download and hear previous shows. And again, as we mentioned earlier, if you've got questions or subjects that you'd like us to talk about, feel free to send us a message on there, or you can email me directly at kvallone@plumh.com. That's kvallone at plumh.com. Thanks so much for tuning in today, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone.